Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Take during the break. Kemba Walker, at best, should be coming off the bench during the playoffs. What do you think about that? I know you're not necessarily a Marcus Smart fan when it comes
I think Marcus Smart should be in the starting lineup, but that's interesting. Maybe he comes off the bench. He doesn't have to play as many minutes. He's your secondary scoring on the second unit. That's an interesting take right there.
But you still don't see them going far.
No, not at all. I don't see them getting past. If they make it into the first round, think about who they're going to be playing: Brooklyn, Milwaukee.
But maybe you catch Brooklyn early.
Yeah, it don't matter if you catch them early or late. You ain't beating Brooklyn. I don't think they couldn't beat Brooklyn when Brooklyn was just playing with Kyrie that one time.
Well, they will if Tatum is the Tatum that he's been, where he's throwing up 50 or 60.
Yeah, but you're going to
Kyrie was playoff Kyrie here, where he stunk.
Right, but the only problem is, even if he's Kyrie, I think Durant is back now, so you're going to get Durant. You know, so you're going to get two of the three, whether it's Kyrie and Durant or Harden and Durant. So you're not beating Brooklyn, you're not beating Philly. You're not beating Milwaukee.
They could beat Milwaukee.
I think they could beat Milwaukee.
No, they can't beat Milwaukee. They're too inconsistent. You don't know. I mean, think about when you look at, I know they beat Orlando last night, but there was even a time in that game where Orlando made a little push and cut the lead to like 5. You struggle with teams that are not very good. And when you play the good teams, it's not close. They just don't. I don't think they have the heart. I always hear Scal talking about the heart and playing. I just don't think they like playing for Brad. And it seems like a lot of them are like, all right, I'm gonna go out there and play. But you know, I'll be glad when the season's over.
Here's a 978 text that says Kemba Walker is making too much to come off the bench.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe if he comes off the bench, it's less minutes for him, and maybe, you know, the wear and tear of playing so many minutes, especially in the playoff, you shorten your bench anyways.
Yeah. All right. I alluded to what Sean Avery said yesterday, former Rangers goon, with regard to the Tom Wilson situation, and there were some who wanted to hear the full transcript, essentially, or the full comments by Sean Avery, who suggested that a better way to deal with somebody like Wilson is to run their goaltender so that the team basically has to police Wilson themselves. Here's Sean Avery.
Jimmy Collins, the Morning Skate podcast. Let's go Rangers. Pop Van sucks. Fatso forgot to shake my hand. Tom Wilson. First of all, I'd love to have a time machine because I would go back in time. I wouldn't go after Wilson, okay? Hopefully, all the boys would say, you know what? We'll cover the fine. I would dump the puck, send a message.
Sorry,
that would let the Washington Capitals know that there's repercussions. When you take out our star player, you're going to feel it. It's as simple as that. You don't wait for the NHL, player safety, George Parros, to do your disciplinary work. You take it into your own hands, you bring it back old school, and you handle your business. And they will think twice. Tom Wilson will think twice the next time he wants to take a shot at Panarin or Mika or Lafreniere. It's very simple. It's very simple. Once again, I love that time machine.
Okay.
Huh?
Had to dump out of that, I noticed.
Yeah, F-bomb in there.
I see it, though. I see what he's saying.
You do?
Yeah, I see what he's saying, because what better way, right? Don't go after the person. Go after the person's family, right? And now that person goes, oh, man, what did I just do?
Right.
I see what he's saying. And you know what? I agree with him, right? Because if the guy, if Wilson's not really concerned about anything the way he's playing.
Well, not only is he not concerned, I mean, it's pretty clear that the team's not concerned either. He does it over and over again. Look what he did to Carlo.
Right.
He gets suspended. What did he get suspended for? 7 games for that? And then this, zero suspension. He gets fined a measly $5,000. It's not going to stop him.
Right. It's like in baseball, right? They have the whole, your guy gets hit. You don't throw at the guy who, like the pitcher. You go after the best player on the team, right? And now they start to think about that. So I kind of understand what he said. And football was the same way. You know, if maybe there was a cheap shot, then you maybe went after the star player, because now the star player goes, hey, play the right way, man, because you're coming after me, not you.
This is Dave from Natick. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's going on?
So I'm a Celtics fan, have been for a long time, and I'm in part frustrated by this year, but not surprised by it. In the NBA, you don't really go very deep in the playoffs when your best players are that young. The Celtics have the sixth youngest roster in the league. I think what we saw over the past couple of years is that as the rest of the veteran roster was pretty strong, there wasn't as much pressure on Tatum and Brown to carry that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a necessary growing pain where if you think of the top players, they all played on dog water teams for a bunch of years where they went out and got 50 meaningless points. They got 60 to bring them back and, you know, beat a comparable team. I think it's just part of the growing pains that they got to go through, and I haven't seen signs that not playing for Brad is a problem.
See, I don't agree with that, because I think when you look at this basketball team, and they're not a young team no more. We got to stop. Both of their starting.
Well, how long can you keep saying that?
Right. I mean, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, a couple years ago, they were playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? So, I mean, they've been to Eastern Conference Finals. We heard from Danny and Wick the last, you know, 3 out of 4 years or whatever it is. So they may be young in age, but in NBA years, they've seen enough basketball to not be, oh, they're still a young basketball team.
I mean, honestly, we all agree they're not going to win a title. The real question is what they do in the offseason. Are they going to bring Kemba back? Can they unload that contract somehow?
I don't think he tried to unload it, and every GM figured out that he was trying to unload a lemon of an automobile.
Yeah, but you could do it.
So he's not going to be able to unload that. Who's he going to be able to unload Kemba Walker on?
You have to package it with something.
The same way the Wizards unloaded John Wall. You could ease to the Rockets. You could do it. Danny missed out on the trade of the light of a lifetime, which I believe was the James Harden trade.
Right.
And when you start to go back and you look and go, really?
Well, that's because he was fooled by the fat suit.
That probably, I don't know if it was the fat suit that got him.
That was the move of the year.
Right.
That was the move of the year.
But you can move on. You can unload Kemba Walker. It's going to be
no way.
What's this team going to look like? And the summer, but the problem's still going to be, is Brad still going to be the coach? So the personalities are not going to change.
Well, there has to be, if they do something personnel-wise,
right,
then Brad is, I mean, he's not a factor in that. I mean, if you get, In other words, mm-hmm. first of all, he's going to be here. They redid a deal with him, and he didn't take $70 million from Indiana.
Right.
So why would you expect that he's not going to be here?
I think he's going to be here, but don't you think he's the issue? Right. He's the issue, and in part, do you think Tatum and Brown can play together?
I do. Yes, I do.
You do?
I do.
I don't think they can. I think for some reason there's something about that dynamic when I watch them play. They're both talented players, but the relationship that they have on the court, I don't know. It just seems a little – it don't seem like that, you know, what's the word? Like simpatico, is that what it
– Simpatico? Yes.
What's the word for that? Where's Danielle? We need Danielle at this time. What's the word?
Simpatico.
Simpatico, right?
What are you talking about? Schadenfreude?
Where it's like so – you know, the relationship and the love between each other, you can just see it and feel it. I don't look at those two guys and go, all right, these superstars, I get that feel.
Well, Jaylen Brown was the one who went and talked to Tatum and said, you got to be a leader, and he responded for a while. He's the only one who can do that.
Well, to that point, Brad Stevens last night sounded downright depressed. I mean, this is after a blowout. Listen to this postgame from Brad.
Hey, Brad, what stood out to you most tonight about the effort across the board, and where do you think you find yourselves at this point?
Six games ago in the regular season, we are what we are. Played hard tonight, played well tonight, played together tonight. So all good things.
Really?
He doesn't sound – he sounds like Governor Baker.
He's revving up for the playoffs. Man, let's go.
This is George from Saugus. George, what's up?
Hi. I was calling about this thing. I called yesterday to I smashed my phone. I can't get online, so I was hoping maybe you guys could check it out. But years ago, and I'm talking, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, NHL players were prosecuted criminally. And I know Todd Bertucci was one of them for what he did to a player on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Bertucci pizza.
So the guy that did it, Wilson or whatever his name is, I mean, he could be brought up on criminal charges, but I don't know how many guys did it to. I only remember him. Maybe you guys could look into it and come for the numb.
Papa Gino got fined last night, too.
Curtis, I do love the Bertucci's rolls.
Ooh, I do love warm rolls.
Best, them rolls are good, man.
Best rolls in the business.
Yeah, man.
Best rolls.
You speak of my language right now.
Right?
Love Bertucci rolls.
Think about
out nice and hot.
Think about dipping one of those in your mother's soup or whatever it is, whatever the business is that you're promoting.
spoonful of comfort grape.
Probably shouldn't call it your mother's soup.
But underrated spot, Bertucci's, by the way.
Yeah.
Great pizza.
Yeah, not a bad place.
It is. They used to have like this like a chicken lobster pasta thing, which was delicious. I tried it once. Just a bite.
And the one in the Back Bay had the bocce court.
Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
Awesome. Right by the Hancock.
Where do you stand? Is bocce a sport?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
My mom dominates bocce. No.
Well, if cornhole is a sport, then bocce is a sport.
Who said cornhole is a sport?
Cornhole Players Union says it's a sport. Wow. It's a sport. All right.
Guess what? They're breakdancing in the Olympics.
Are you coming to the 4th Annual Beach Cornhole Tournament, by the way?
When is it again?
May 27th.
I got to check my schedule.
Is it a week from Saturday?
Yes, it is.
All right. I got to check my schedule.
A week from Saturday.
Right.
Wow, we're going to be on
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from Saturday, we're going to be on the beach in beautiful Maine, my adopted home continent. Are you coming or not?
Yeah, I got to just check, make sure I can get away.
Ken and Curtis are both participating.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you participating? Didn't LB say on the show he was going to come?
Yep.
I want you and LB to be cornhole teammates.
And where? What's the name of the beach again?
Old Orchard Beach.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I'm too far from
And
that.
The location is the Brunswick,
mm-hmm.
arguably the greatest beach bar in the continental United States of America.
Right up 95?
Yes.
And we know at least one guest host will be there.
Well, which one? Okay. Mego?
Well, I mean, Mego may do the show from there. We'll see if we can work that out.
I think, did all of the guest hosts have their dinner last night at table in the North End?
Oh.
I think that was happening last night.
Was that last night?
I saw that. Jen Royal was supposed to have them all come out.
Yeah, she's hosting everybody.
Was Trenny there?
I think Trenny was not available.
Oh.
Were they spilling the tea about us?
I would assume, probably.
Why didn't we get an invite?
I don't know why you didn't get an invite. I don't know why.
I do love invites.
All right, May 22nd, we'll see you at the Brunswick. Wiggy will be there. Ken and Curtis will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be there. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, listen, the Celtics is Wiggy is right now. You have two top 20 players. You have another guy who was at one point a legitimate all-star in Kemba. In the playoffs, there's no back-to-back, so they get the day rest. You don't have to worry about, you know, Kemba.
Relaxing
in between. Mm-hmm. You have the best defensive wing player in the NBA in Marcus Smart to lock down whoever the other team's best wing player is. The only issue is, and I know people don't like to hear this, the biggest issue is how are the games going to be officiated in the playoffs? Because as we saw in the Portland game, if it's a bunch of nonsense, then the Celtics are going to get screwed. If we're playing Philadelphia and Joel Embiid gets to shoot 20 free throws a game while we only shoot 15, well, yeah, we're going to have a problem. But this Celtics team has enough firepower between Tatum, Brown, Kemba, Evan Fournier, who has proven that he's a lights-out shooter. Yeah, we have guys coming off the bench. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to see this team at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals again. It's just I just don't see why people are as down. It's not Brad's fault. Brad can't control the officiating. Brad can't control whether or not Tatum and Brown are, you know, dealing with injuries. So it's just I just still see this team making the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think some of these other teams in the Eastern Conference are more pretender than contender. Like, we haven't seen it from Philadelphia yet. They're a joke. You know, we haven't seen it from Milwaukee.
I like Fournier because he goes with a white T-shirt look. man after my own heart.
But if By you're blaming way, officiating and injuries right. at this point, what are we doing?
That's ridiculous.
And if you watch the Celtics team, like, to think that you can go, oh, yeah, they can just turn it on. Well, what tells you that? You know, you're down by 33, and I grant it, you come back and you beat the San Antonio Spurs because Jason Tatum goes off for, what, 24 in the fourth quarter?
How often is he going to be able to right. go off during the playoffs?
Right.
You can't rely on that.
Right, and it's not like, you know, you have two great players in Tatum and Brown, but I've said this. There's something about the way that they play together. It just doesn't look like they're having fun out there. It don't, you know, when you see Anthony Davis and LeBron, or you see, you know, Kyrie, KD, James Harden, you see some of these other superstar tandems, you know, you saw it with Klay and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like the relationship between the chemistry, you love that word, right? Mm-hmm. The chemistry between them, does it look great between Brown and Tatum on the court?
Yes, I think I don't know, great. It looks good.
Is good going to win you a championship?
Yeah, probably not. I need to. How big is Brad's nose?
Oh,
is Brad Stevens' nose?
We got a ruler.
You have a ruler.
I have a ruler.
We're
going
to measure. I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we have time.
You can measure the nose.
I don't know if I want to measure my nose up against your nose.
I mean,
might be a bad
my
thing
nose.
To do.
From the bridge to the tip, right?
Okay. I don't know if we're going to get to that. We don't have time for that. I know you got a ruler. I don't have time for that.
Brought a ruler.
Brad Stevens, corn tortilla guy. Definitely a corn tortilla guy.
Definitely.
All right. He's a mass hole.
Coming up at 9, we will get to the front office report with regard to your Boston Red Sox. And then Sean Corrali of the Boston Bruins will join us during the 9 o'clock hour after that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Yo, give it up.
to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. On WEEI.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he has throughout this NHL season, it is our pal Sean Corrali of the Boston Bruins. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's going on? Thanks for being here. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for squeezing me a couple minutes early. We have picture day today, so we have to be on the ice like 10 minutes early. So I appreciate it.
Do you have to be 6 feet apart, or how are they doing that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how they're going to do that.
I'm sure guys are probably. Is there any kind of encouragement with regard to getting vaccinated from the team? How do they handle that?
We actually had the opportunity to get vaccinated.
Okay.
So the guys that wanted to, like maybe a week or two ago, once it was available for everyone, got. It was available to get vaccinated.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Taylor Hall and this is a A and B question. Part one.
Yeah.
Part one is has his addition to this team ignited anything offense wise, team chemistry wise, and part two B is. You can clearly see it in him. What is it about this destination that has turned him into a little bit of a different player than maybe he was in Buffalo?
Yeah, I think well, first of all, he's we've got a lot of good players on this team, so I don't think he's the one guy that everyone's looking to for offense or to be the superstar. We've got a few of those. So, maybe that helps, I guess, mentally a little bit, just whatever. And he's playing with Krejci and Smith, who are both playing really well. And that line's really, you never know how a line's going to come together, but they've really come together well. Hall's using his speed and skill. And it's, when we're going, like we talked about last time, when you're going into the playoffs and you add someone like that, it's a little bit of a boost for the whole team, realizing that, okay, we got this other player. It hopefully, lends us to have a long run. And not just, I want to also mention, we added Curtis Lazar and Mikey Riley, who have been two good pieces, too, for us that we've been using the hell out of and been helping our team win.
Sean, when you look at your performance here, the last few games, you've been, kind of on fire, playing really well. It's always interesting. I try to find it out from talking to athletes. What is it that you changed, you tweaked, that maybe got you from that point to where maybe you're not playing as well as you like to, and now all of a sudden it seems like you're hitting your stride at the right time? Was there something that you did or you noticed in the change of your game?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we've been waiting a while for you to be able to say that to me. So I'm glad just in the nick of time you're saying it. So that's the good news.
Listen, when you can gloat about it. I think I heard the other night you got more points in the last 8 games than you did in the previous 27. So you're doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. I'll take it. If I knew exactly what it was, Wiggy, that's a good question. You know, too, from playing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just, you find it, and sometimes the game's agreeing with you. Sometimes you're feeling the game, and sometimes you're just trying to figure it out. And I think for whatever reason, and thankfully, it's kind of feeling a little bit better for me now. I've playoffs kind of get me excited, and end of the year and getting into playoffs, I think maybe light at the end of the tunnel, you're feeling like this is starting to get fun.
Mm-hmm. So are you able to look at round one and say that they're out of those teams that you might face, that there is one that you would prefer to face?
This year is kind of unique in that. I don't think so. I really don't. I think you've got three good teams. It's going to be a battle to get out of this East Division, no matter who we're playing. It's going to be tough. There's three good teams. You're going to Long Island, Pittsburgh, or Washington. Who knows? It's a toss-up. It's gonna be tough.
With regard to Washington, I wanted to ask you about Tom Wilson. And when you look at a guy like that as a player, are you concerned that there's obviously a role, some role, maybe diminished lately in the NHL for tough guys, for enforcers, for goons, whatever you want to call them. But are you concerned when it comes to some guys that they're, you know, you could legitimately end a guy's career? In this case, you end a guy's season.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I had to ask it. I know you don't want to answer it, but I had to ask it.
No, that's a totally fair question. It's a really fine line. I love players that play hard and play between the whistles and play the game the right way and don't take advantage of guys in vulnerable situations. And to me, I'll go to battle with a guy like that. You tap him on the shin pads after and, you know, maybe whack him first. But if it's between the rules, I guess, you know, that's the name of the game. So I guess it's up to the higher powers to decide if it's between the rules. And then if we as players think there's something between the rules that we don't like, I think that's something we got to talk about. But for now, you leave it to them to judge between what rules we've all laid out for each other.
Well, let me ask it in a different way. Can you ever see yourselves as a team policing a guy internally if you feel like what he is doing is affecting the team negatively? Do you guys do that?
Oh, yeah. If it's affecting the team negatively, absolutely. But that's the question. I think, you know, at this point, most teams, you know, it's not affecting the team negatively enough to have a conversation with a player that's doing something like that. I think that's where the issue therein lies,
yeah.
Or the discussion, mm-hmm. is there's not enough negative, suspension penalties. That's the discussion. Is there enough? There isn't right now. So no, internally, I'm sure there's nothing. It's fine.
Well, Sean Avery, we just played some Sean Avery audio where he was saying what he would have done is run their goalie. So then everybody on the team had to talk to Wilson about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's an interesting take from another antagonizer that I wouldn't have thought of. So that's from a different part of the brain and a different guy.
Hey, Sean, how about the Bruins team toughness? Where are you guys right now? How do you feel about the team's chemistry and standing up for one another?
Yeah, we feel good about it. You've got a bunch of guys. I think we like to think our toughness comes playing hard and scoring goals and stuff. But we can answer both ways with that. You've got some guys that have, I guess if you're talking about fighting, I am guys that have dropped the gloves and aren't afraid to. And we're big, we're strong. We feel good about it. There's a number of guys I think that's been addressed from higher up that we want to be able to stand in there.
Sean, we talked to former Bruins forward Lyndon Byers on this show, and one of the questions I asked him about is familiarity of playing a team. And you guys have played, you know, whether it's Pittsburgh, Washington, or the Islanders so much. Do you find that to be a good thing going into the playoffs, playing a team that you have so much familiarity with, or is it sometimes could be a negative because they know you just as well?
Yeah. Right, two-way street on that. It's going to be it'll be interesting. I think it's maybe kind of already lent itself to a little bit of a playoff atmosphere playing teams so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what is going to be weird is if you play a team that's not in your division, if you get to the conference final, it's going to be really weird not seeing a team all year and then playing them in the conference final if you get there or the final. So I think that's where the weirdness is going to come. And who knows, you know, if these little divisions have taken on a little life of their own and, you know, maybe the styles are a little bit different, to be honest. I've been so focused on what we've been going on. I haven't seen a whole lot of the other divisions. You see highlights and stuff, but you don't really watch games back to front or front to back, I should say. So that's, I think, going to be the most interesting part, seeing how these divisions collide with each other.
I was surprised the other night during the game because Brick said – that he didn't believe there was any home ice advantage round one and round two of the playoffs. Do you feel that way? And depending on how you answer, is it a disadvantage for you guys with only 25% of the capacity at the Garden?
I think 25%, Hillman, I think that's going to put us at least equal with everybody else. I know Pittsburgh has had 25% for a bit, but that's going to be interesting. I think Washington hasn't had fans yet. So I think in terms of number of fans, I think we'll be at you know, the top of the four at least. So that helps. But you always want home ice. To us, now 25% fans kind of feels like a full building from what we're used to. So is it as much, you know, as heavy weighted as usual? Probably not. But you'd take any tiny little percentage help you can get, I think you're going to take. So definitely less than usual, but we want to be home. We want to be in front of our fans for that extra game.
And then my last question for you, Sean Corrali, is goaltending wise, it looks like you got reasonable, when it comes to depth, you got a reasonable amount of depth heading into the playoffs. You guys feel good about all of these goaltenders?
Yeah, we do. We do. We have you know, definitely three that have played consistently and playing well, and that's a good feeling. It really is. I think depth is huge going into playoffs, no matter what position. Injuries happen, stuff happens. You know, maybe it's just a night or two where you need someone else to step in for something going on with injury, and that can be the difference between winning the Stanley Cup and not being able to get there. So I think we feel great about it. We're excited. That's kind of the name of the game.
And if one of them were to break his stick by repeatedly banging it off of the ice or the boards or the bench, would there be a reserve of sticks that are available for him? Correct?
Yes, we have a reserve for him. Oh, jeez.
It seemed a tad bit frustrated the other night.
I know. Thank God it wasn't over my head or anything. Let it be the post.
All right, quick plug for your for the charity that you're working with before you go, Sean.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just thanks to your viewers. Helping kids gain access to sport, just something I felt really close to. It's out of Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from, but we're coming to Boston this summer in July, and we're going to hand out sporting equipment for kids to try and, you know, some kids that maybe don't have access to. I think it's a hockey stick, maybe a ball or two. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear that. That's my alarm. But yeah, we're going to hand it out. Anyway, great organization. There's a link on my Instagram if you feel inclined to get more information. But thankful for the help so far. We appreciate it, and I can't wait to hand some stuff out in July.
All right, and we can't wait to talk. We'll talk to you when it gets to playoff time. So
good luck.
Awesome.
Go get them. Good luck. All right, Sean, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's time to get some intel on the Sox. It's the Front Office Report on EEI.
I hope Scott from Weymouth is listening, because this is sports after sports after sports, Ken Lair.
Right in your wheelhouse.
Front Office Report is brought to you by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And this week it is Brian O'Halloran who joins us from the Red Sox with the Front Office Report. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So I got to ask, this team is so far, I think, has exceeded the expectations. Well, when it came to the fans and maybe the media, has it internally exceeded the expectations of management?
I honestly wouldn't put it that way. I think, you know, overall, in spite of a tough loss last night and some ups and downs here, overall, it's great that we've gotten off to a good start, had a good first month. I guess what I would say is we knew going in, we felt going in that we had, you know, a good team, a good baseball team, a good competitive team. You know, whenever you're in that situation where you don't necessarily, you know, you're not certain that it's a team that's going to go out and on paper win 100 games, or the flip side of that, you're you don't think it's a team that's going to go out and win 65 games. You know, if you think you have a competitive team that's going to be in the fight, there's some variance to how that can play out, certainly over the course of a month. And I think overall things went pretty well. Obviously, there's still some things that need to be improved, but I wouldn't say it's been surprising, but by and large, we're pleased with how things have gone.
Well, but does it change your approach at all? Like, if you were looking at, or you're Sam Kennedy or whomever looking at, or Haim, you're looking at this and saying, all right, we're, you know, it's a 3-4 year essentially rebuild thing that's going on here. When the team comes out like they have, does that change your approach at all?
I think, you know, you're always, you know, your approach is always evolving, and you're always trying to balance the present and trying to win in a given season with, you know, sustaining success over time and making sure you're not doing anything that you know, prevents you from doing that and from winning in the future. So it's always a balance, and you know, we're one little over 1 month in now. You know, we got a few more months here until you know, the trade deadlines, say, for example, which is obviously a big date. So you evaluate your team as you go. And certainly, yes, the performance of the team can change your approach to what you do in season. But that's the case every year.
Brian, when you look at your starting pitching, they started off really well. And I know Lou Maloney talked about, you know, pitchers just being able to keep teams in the game where it's close games. And when you look at what you guys have been able to do with your rotation, did you expect that coming into this season, or did you feel like, you know what, you know, sometimes the pitching maybe can start a little bit slower?
Well, you know, we definitely felt that we had improved starting pitching, both with, you know, return to health of some guys like Erod, and some additions from the outside, you know, like Garrett Richards. You know, so we felt we had a rotation that could, you know, perform well, keep us in games, and give us a chance, and certainly would be an improvement from last year. Not to mention, we felt that we had increased depth, with, you know, some of the guys that are starting in AAA, and also, you know, guys that are pitching out of the pen that could start if we needed them to. But that all said, you know, we also knew, you know, that there was some risk in our rotation. We had, you know, some guys that coming off of either injury or over time some difficulty, you know, posting 180, 200 innings. We knew it wasn't a rotation that we could bank on everybody going out there and doing that. But that's part of the need the reason that we felt we wanted to really build our depth. But it's gone well, as you said. I mean, the guys have kept us in games. All five guys have really, really done a good job, and that's part of the reason, maybe the main reason why we're sitting in first place here.
Brian, fastball from me right here, right now. Is it accurate that the genesis for the home run cart comes from Jason Varitek last year? Because he's now taking credit for it.
You know, I don't honestly know the true answer to that question, but okay. If Tech is taking credit for it, I'm going to go with Tech.
Okay.
I mean, I trust Tech. Okay. I trust the captain.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Brian, what can you tell us about Chris Sale's first throw off the mound? How did he look?
Yeah, so Chris continues to progress well, the most recent step was some light toss off the mound, which is a big step. So, you know, he's not at the point where he's really heating it up yet, but just getting off the mound is a huge milestone, and he's excited by it, and he's progressing forward, so that's all good.
Brian, when you look at analytics, and they play a major part of baseball, do you ever get to the point where it's like, all right, sometimes we might have to throw the analytics out the window for, like, you know, a certain player, maybe if he's just not, you know, swinging on first pitches because of what analytics tell him? Or when do you get to that point where you just maybe let the guy just go on feel and instinct versus the analytics part of the game?
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's always a balance of everything, and you know, There's all kinds of different analytical information, you know, in terms of preparation for a game or kind of more longer term stuff, like how you think the player should perform over time and what his track record leads you to believe he will do. But that, you know, doesn't, you know, mean that you don't look at what you see with your eyes. That the you know, these guys are human beings. They're, you know, they go through different things, both physical, mental, whatever it might be. So it's all part of it. You know, it's not throwing one or the other out the window. It's kind of always considering everything and doing, you know, trying to help the player put himself in the best position to succeed.
Want to ask you about something from a management perspective. Do you, with regard to Aaron Rodgers, do you look at when it comes to a key player on, you know, on the Red Sox, who's a part of your franchise, do you end up consulting with them on personnel decisions and things like that that may affect them?
That's a good question. I mean, it's interesting. You definitely want to stay engaged with your clubhouse, with your players, certainly your key players, your team leaders. You certainly do factor in with, say, acquisitions or moves you're going to make, how that might impact the group, how that might impact the clubhouse. The managers involved in those conversations. You may talk to a player about someone that you're considering acquiring that they have experience with, that they know. On the other hand, you know, you don't want to, you know, get in a situation where you ask a question that you don't really want answered. You know, you don't want to solicit input if that input isn't going to kind of carry the day at times. So it's a balance, but you always want to, you know, certainly keep in mind how any decision is going to impact the clubhouse and the environment down there.
All right, last question for me. I think next week, double the fans at Fenway, so up to close to 10,000. Will that make a difference for the team?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it's exciting to be able to, you know, add more fans to the stands. Should help us. It of course, the more the merrier at Fenway, and we have, you know, not played as well as we should at Fenway Park over, you know, well documented over the last you know, season plus. So we're looking forward to having more fans in the stands to help us out.
Do you think that's a factor when it comes to how you're playing at home?
You know, it's hard to say. I wouldn't blame it on that. Certainly, I think pinpointing why we haven't, you know, played quite as well as we should at home is difficult. I certainly also feel that it can't hurt to have more fans in the stands, you know, cheering for our guys.
All right, Brian O'Halloran on the Harbor One Hotline. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.